How would you like to attend a conference and hear Matt Harrison, Craig Parton, Jonathan Fisk, Will Wheaton, Chris Roseborough, and Al Schmidt? You're invited to the 2014 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois. Registration is $100 per person. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Thursday afternoon, February the 20th, I'm going to spend some time talking about Lutheran missions, really about what the Christian mission is, what the church's mission is. That's what we mean by Lutheran missions. Is this what it is? Is it taking the means of getting good medical care to places where good medical care is in short supply or impossible to get? Is it malaria nets, mosquito nets? Is it clean water? Is it building a community center in a slum someplace in South America? Now, that's often what's called a mission trip, but is that missions? What is a biblical view of missions? Joining us on this Thursday afternoon to talk about Lutheran missions, Pastor James May. He's director of Lutherans in Africa. He'll be speaking at this weekend's Making Disciples Conference at Bethany Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights, Illinois. His presentation is titled Making Disciples in Africa. Pastor May, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you.
A lot of times, and for a long time now, what has been called missions isn't. What kind of things have flown under the banner of missions that aren't?
The majority of things that people do in Africa, I can't speak for the other countries, but in Africa, the majority of things that people do is acts of mercy, giving things, sending people on medical mission trips, or coming over to distribute eyeglasses, clothes, mosquito nets, all sorts of things, which are good. People do them out of the kindness of their heart. They want to help people in their need. They come to Africa, they see the poverty, but the problem is that a couple different problems. One is there are many different aid organizations that are already doing that sort of thing in Africa. And secondly, it doesn't bring them salvation. It doesn't bring them eternal life.
So it's not detrimental
no.
to mission work, but it isn't mission work? Is that what you're saying?
Now that I think about it, sometimes it can be detrimental because when you come over to just to give things, people start to think of Christianity as materialism, or which we have a lot of in Africa is with the Pentecostals is prosperity theology. So people are thinking that Jesus is coming to just give earthly healing and earthly gifts. So when our missions go, when good-hearted Lutherans from America go over and do the same thing, they're actually doing the same thing that Pentecostals are doing. They're focusing on the world rather than eternal life.
So what if we're going to talk about Lutheran missions, what makes Lutheran missions Lutheran? What makes it genuinely the mission of the church? How would you describe it, Pastor May?
I don't think that we need a theology of missions. I mean, it just tells us, you know, right in the Book of Concord in Article 5, which is, you know, after the great article on justification, it says, so that we may obtain this faith, the ministry of teaching the gospel, administering the sacraments, was instituted. Through the word and sacraments, as through instruments, the Holy Spirit is given. He works faith when and where it pleases God. In those who hear the good news, that God justifies those who believe, that they are received into grace for Christ's sake. This happens not through our own merits, but for Christ's sake. Our churches condemn the Anabaptists and others who think that through their own preparations and works, the Holy Spirit comes to them without the external word.
So what does that mean Lutheran missions are going to look like? What is it going to look like on the ground?
Even what it condemns there at the end, when it condemns the Anabaptists who think the Holy Spirit comes to people without the external word. So the very key thing is we need to be going out with the word of God. And what I found in Africa so often is people are hungry to know what God says. And they don't have to be Christian, even Muslims, even animists. People in Africa have an inherent belief in God. They believe that God exists.
They're all theists in some
yes,
sense or another.
Yes, yeah. They are. And each and every day they fear retribution from the spirits. The African religion, they've summarized them all in the word animist. And it varies from tribe to tribe, but basically what they believe is that when you die, the spirit or the soul continues to live, which also we believe. But the difference for them is that they believe that they continue to live in the earthly realms, and they bless us and curse us based on the sacrifices we do and observing different rites. But that's one part of it, the earthly thing. But then still they have the fear of Judgment Day. And I think Africans are more hungry and eager to know what happens on Judgment Day, because death is so ever-present. You know, I've been to so many different countries where we do have problems with malaria. There are problems with dirty water, which gives you diarrhea and dysentery and leads to death. And then also you have terrorist attacks. I mean, it's not just the mall, the Westgate Mall that was bombed by Al-Shabaab in Kenya, but actually every single month we have terrorist attacks in Kenya. But they're not on the news because, you know, Kenya is not a very big country and people don't think it's very important. But Al-Shabaab is throwing grenades into bus stations and killing people. And then you have wars up in Sudan. So death is always in their faces. So since it's ever present, they want to know what happens when we die. And another thing which I think it makes, you know, a difference between Americans and Kenyans is that we always live with each other up until the very end because of lack of hospitals. And also we don't have retirement homes where we tuck away our grandparents so that we don't see them suffering and going through the end. But here we're in Africa where we live in community. It's always before their faces.
So death is at home for them.
Yeah. So that because death is at home, the question is always what's going to happen after we die.
You read from that fifth article of the Augsburg Confession where it says, the preaching of the word, the administration of the sacraments.
Right.
Does that mean that Lutheran missions is precisely that? It is a preacher who preaches and administers the sacraments, which sounds to me a lot like what happens on Sunday morning where I go to church.
There's nothing else except for that. The Holy Spirit doesn't come to us except through that. That's where God has promised the Holy Spirit to come to us. So if we do not do that, we do not bring the Holy Spirit and we do not bring eternal life to people.
Two questions on that. Does that mean that Lutheran missions will intentionally plant congregations, that is, establish pulpits, altars, fonts, where the mission is being done?
Well, as far as sending over missionaries into Africa, it's actually quite different. I started as a church planner in Burkina Faso, and I did start by planning churches, but there's a very big problem and limitation is that I can only, as an individual, you can only plant two or three congregations. And sometimes people come for the wrong reason. They come because, oh, there's a foreigner there. Maybe he's going to bring us lots of goodies. Whereas in Africa, for instance, the country of Madagascar, which has 4.5 million Lutherans, every single month, they plant 12 new congregations.
Wow.
That's just Madagascar. And there's 54 countries in Africa. So the church is growing and expanding so much. What happens is a missionary goes out or a pastor goes out into a village. People hear about Jesus and they hear about this is the way to get to heaven. Jesus has done it for you. And now he's coming to wash you clean, to make you born again through holy baptism and to send you in heaven. And then a huge group comes. These churches that started in Madagascar, you know, that the first day you'll have 25 people, but within a year you'll have over 300 people. And because they grow so fast, what the pastor does is he'll pick a man who's most eager and excited about the gospel, and they'll make him what they call an evangelist. And he leads the services, church services on Sundays. But then now the pastor, the ordained pastor, so we have a difference between evangelist and ordained pastor. The ordained pastor will now go on to another congregation, and he's responsible for anywhere to 10 to 12 congregations. So he only comes back once every 3 to 6 months. So what we do with our organization, Lutherans in Africa, is not so much planting churches, but equipping the evangelists who have no training at all.
Those men who are left behind when the pastor has to go.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Because this, without a catechism, without a Bible, without a hymnal, how are they going to worship on Sunday? You know, how are they going to distinguish law and gospel? So what we do is we follow right from the example of Ephesians chapter 4, where God told us why he gave us the pastors and evangelists. And God gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. And how long do we do that? Until we attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So how can we have the unity of faith without a catechism, without a Book of Concord? And why do we do these things? Verse 14 is so key. So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. And this is what's happening to the churches in Africa, that people are so confused because Christ promised us that in the end times, there will be false Christs and false prophets coming along, teaching a message to take us away from Christ. And if we do not equip the pastors and evangelists, then the seeds that were planted will now be choked. So what we try to do, and I think what Lutheran missions in Africa should be doing, the missionaries who go over, not so much the planning of churches, but equipping the evangelists and the pastors, because there's not enough schools.
So the problem isn't what you're saying here, it sounds like, Pastor Mays. The problem isn't planting churches. That's not the problem.
No.
Those are popping up like mushrooms.
No.
The problem is the men who are left behind to serve those churches in the absence of an ordained pastor.
Correct.
Need to be taught.
Correct.
Need to be equipped. Need to... I see one sitting on the desk in front of you. They need to have a sound confession of faith in their hands,
right,
in their language, so they can properly instruct that congregation.
Instruct the congregation, but also defend against the heresy that comes, because the Baptists are going to be coming, the Pentecostals are going to be coming, the Catholics are going to be coming. And the great thing about the catechism is, you know, it's the catechism does not replace the Bible, but when you open up the catechism – and it has all the questions and answers. All the answers are Bible verses. The only thing is we've organized it according to topics, theological topics, so that when people have questions, they can easily find the answer. And being equipped, they do exactly what Ephesians 4 says, that they're able to defend the faith. So when the false prophets come, they say, but the Word of God says.
We're talking about Lutheran missions. Pastor James May is our guest on this Thursday afternoon, February the 20th. He's director of Lutherans in Africa. He is going to be speaking this weekend at a Making the Disciples conference at Bethany Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights, Illinois. His presentation is titled Making Disciples in Africa. When we come back, we'll get some specific examples of how to equip congregations for real church, for real mission. Would you like to learn about the Reformation theology you hear on Issues, etc.? We'll send you a pamphlet of Luther's Small Catechism for free. It contains the biblical teachings on the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, baptism, the Lord's Supper, and confession and absolution. Order your free copy of Luther's Small Catechism today. Just send your name and mailing address to talkback@issuesetc.org.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
In Hosea 4, we read, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." At the CLCC, we educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Christians would if they learned what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website at theclcc.org. See what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And encourage your pastors to hold an event in your area. For more information, go to theclcc.org.
Check out the updated showroom at Vallo Floor Coverings, 1009 Plummer Drive in Edwardsville. Vallo's offers free in-home measurement, interior design consultation, and experienced installation. Celebrating 50 years of trusted experience, Vallo Floor Coverings, 1009 Plummer Drive in Edwardsville, 618-656-7788 or vallofloor.com.
The message is the mission. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
I like to think of the deaconess vocation as driven by two things, the love of Christ and the needs of our neighbor.
Issues, Etc. regular guest, Dr. James Buescher, Director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the vocation of deaconess.
First, the deaconess is moved by the love of Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve. Yet I think we can also see the profound needs around us, broken families, loneliness, despair. Deaconesses help the church to become a true family that manifests the love of Christ in our love for one another, and especially for those in need.
For more information on the Deaconess Studies program at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit ctsfw.edu or call Concordia Theological Seminary at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155. The Schola Cantorum of St. Peter's in the Loop with the Epiphany hymn, When John Baptized at Jordan's River. It's playing right now at our 24/7 sacred music station called LutheranPublicRadio.org. One thing you'll notice when you listen to Lutheran Public Radio is that most of the music is choral. Most of it is in the language that you speak, English. It's all sacred, and it follows the course of the church year. That's LutheranPublicRadio.org, absolutely free 24/7, the church's music for the world. We're talking about Lutheran missions. Pastor James May is our guest. He's director of Lutherans in Africa. Before the break, you kind of got us started on this, Pastor May, but give us some specific examples, if you would, of equipping both congregations in the mission field and their pastors or evangelists in the mission field in real biblical mission.
For now, what we do is we have... Week-long seminars where we work with evangelists, pastors, and Sunday school teachers, deaconesses, all those who would be teaching the faith. And even though there are ordained pastors, just because they're ordained doesn't mean that they've even been equipped with this doctrine. So, for instance, the LCMS is in fellowship with the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Kenya and has been since 2006. They have a very good church there. But so we've been in fellowship with them since 2006, but the majority of people, what they speak there is Swahili. The language that they speak day-to-day is Swahili, and then maybe they speak their tribal languages. Most of them do not know English. Well, the Book of Concord was never published in Swahili until the year 2010. So I don't know, what our level of altar and pulpit fellowship is or what it's based on. Exactly. Is it based on one person or is it based on the whole church having the right doctrine?
So we got ahead of ourselves. Is that what you're saying, Pastor May?
I don't know. For me, it's different. We're working with our organization, which is, independent. And I understand the synod, they wanted to do things efficiently. So they have the structure of altar and pulpit fellowship. But for us, Lutherans in Africa, our goal is that that people know the correct doctrine, the correct faith. Because when turning back to Ephesians 4, you know, we equip them so that we have the unity of faith. We have to have the unity of doctrine. So when we go to have different seminars, we just go through the six chief parts of the catechism. And when we invite people to the seminars, I can also say something that's different about our organization is that we don't always only invite Lutherans. We went to a seminar in Bukavu, northeast of the Democratic Republic of Congo, and the Lutheran bishop there, he announced on the radio that Lutherans in Africa was sponsoring a week-long conference. And we had eight Pentecostal pastors who attended. And when we were going through the Ten Commandments, they agree that what the Ten Commandments is from the Bible. They agree that we should be following what God says. And yes, it shows us we're a sinner. And we go through the Lord's Prayer, the Creed. But then when we get to baptism, immediately they reject. And the Pentecostal pastors, they stood up, they said no. The Pentecostals are more faithful to God's word than the Lutherans, because we follow the example of Jesus, and we do not baptize babies. I say, well, how is that the example of Jesus? Because in the Pentecostal church, when do you baptize? And they said, the age of 12, just like when Jesus was baptized. Oh, is it so? So we look up in the Gospel of Luke, and we see that Jesus entered the temple at the age of 12, but actually he was baptized at the age of 30. So if you want to say that you're more faithful, well, then those who reject infant baptism should wait to the age of 30. But that's besides the point, because they're missing that Christ's baptism is different than our baptism. You know, when Christ was baptized, he was the last one to go down into the Jordan River. And as the way the church fathers teach is that when Christ went down there, he didn't go down to be cleansed, because God is holy. Jesus is holy. But when he goes down to the river where everyone had been confessing their sins, what he does is actually he dirties himself, and he takes our sins. And then that's when he begins his ministry from there, taking our sins to the cross. And now for our baptism, it's opposite. All of us are sinners from birth. And the major problem is not trying to defend infant baptism, but the problem is explaining original sin. So when we go through what the scripture says about how we're conceived in sin, that sin is something that we receive through our fathers, through our father, and it's kind of like a disease. I often give them the example of malaria. Now, I've had malaria seven times myself, and the different symptoms of malaria: you have a headache, you have joint ache, you have a headache, lose your appetite, and then you have chills. So I asked the group, you know, how many of you had malaria? Everyone's had malaria. So how do you know when you have malaria? Oh, well, when you have a headache. Oh, so when you have a headache, you have malaria. No. It's just a symptom that shows that you have that sickness. Well, it's the same thing. Our acts of sin are the symptoms, but it's not the root disease. The root disease is that we are corrupt, and we have sin in us. And the only way to be born again, to be recreated, is through holy baptism. And when we go through Romans chapter 6 and Colossians chapter 2, and we read through those verses, and we read through what the catechism teaches. And at the end of it, those eight Pentecostal pastors, they went up to the Lutheran bishop, and they said, we realized that actually the Lutherans are more faithful to the Bible than the Pentecostal church. And those eight pastors became Lutheran.
Someone says, and you've almost kind of responded to this, someone might say, well, Pastor May, you're talking, this is kind of utopian. It would be great if we could instruct these African congregations and pastors and evangelists in the Lutheran confession. That would be great, but it's not practical. It's a utopian idea. How do you respond?
Well, why is it not practical?
They would say cultural differences. It's too steep of a learning curve. They didn't come from our cultural background. Lutheranism is a Western European product. Mm-hmm. We're trying to impose that upon them and their culture and their way of thinking. How would you respond to that?
Well, I just wanted to hear what you had to say about it, because since I've been doing it since 2006, I don't understand. But so one thing that you said reminded me of something when I first went on the mission field. I had asked my mission director what sorts of books I should take with me, because I've never been a missionary in Africa. How am I going to do this? And I don't mean to offend anyone, but the response I got was, you know, Africans aren't that smart anyone. Anyways, you don't need any books. Just tell them to love Jesus. But even saying that, just tell them to love Jesus is law. It's not gospel. And secondly, maybe they don't have the knowledge now, but it doesn't mean that they are somehow less intelligent than other people. And in fact, I think Africans are more intelligent than Americans, and at least they can concentrate better. So what they need is education. I was just telling Craig when I was out front there, I've preached sermons 2 hours long. And not because of me, you know, forcing it upon them, but they're sitting there. They come to church with their Bibles, and they go through the scriptures, and we're studying and, discerning law and gospel, and they just continue to want to learn more and more. So
they don't want you to stop.
No, they don't. And the thing is that, maybe they don't have the education. They have the intelligence, but they don't have the education, and they don't have the educational resources. So what we need to do is to equip that more and more. And the task is monumental. The amount of money that the church spends, on mercy, acts of mercy, is incredible. But it's, for me, it's very sad and shocking how little is used for this exact thing of what I said about education and education resources. We just printed 10,000 Swahili catechisms, which you might think, oh, that's a lot of catechisms. But 10,000 catechisms in the Lutheran Church of Tanzania, which is the largest Lutheran church that speaks Swahili, there's 5.5 million Lutherans. So do the division of 10,000 divided by 5.5 million, not even a percent. And this is the medicine of eternal life. It's nice to give people malaria medicine or clean water, which will, give them a better health, but people are still going to die. And it's only the church that has the medicine for eternal life. And we need to be getting this to them so they may live forever with Jesus Christ.
You mentioned a sermon that could go 2 hours because the congregation is that hungry mm-hmm. for the Word of God. What does Lutheran worship look like in Africa? I imagine it's quite diverse. What does it look like?
Again, it's the same thing. If they're not equipped, if they don't have, like I have some hymnals here, a French hymnal, hymnal in Ekaguzi. But to the majority of these congregations who have an evangelist who's not trained and a congregation that's not equipped, there's nothing much else they can do except for be Pentecostals, because they have to learn by example. And the only example they see is what the Pentecostals are doing. But when we study liturgy and what Lutheran worship is, I often make a comparison that's either the church is a discotheque or the church is a hospital. It's a discotheque, and we're there to entertain the people. We're there to dance and sing and to get our emotions excited in order to feel closer to God. Or we're sick and we need healing, and the church is a hospital. And then if the church is a hospital, well, then what is the medicine? And when we teach the medicine is holy baptism, confession and absolution, the Lord's Supper, hearing of God's word, then teaching those things changes the way they worship. And it's not a German order of worship, but actually, the great blessing about LSB, Lutheran Service Book, is that next to the different parts of the liturgy, you see that these are right from the Bible. So when we come into worship service, into the church, they remember the way they came into the church the first time. And I don't know how, I think actually most churches probably in America probably do it differently. But in Africa, I follow the example, the liturgy that Martin Luther uses with the exorcisms, and we do the baptism at the door of the church. Because, Lutherans teach that unless you're baptized, you are not a Christian. Christ has not made you one of his disciples. Therefore, you're outside the church. So we start at the door of the church, and that's where you're baptized. And we have the exorcism, not because, you know, people are rolling around in the ground and foaming at the mouth, but we do not believe in a place called limbo. You either belong to God or you belong to Satan. And by birth, we belong to Satan in our sin until Christ makes us a disciple. So when we start with the exorcism, and then we have the baptism at the door of the church, and then oftentimes we, if we have them available, we give people a white garment, reminding us of Revelation chapter 7. And then we come into the church, and now we have our service after that. When we do that, then every day, every time we come to worship, people want to start not only by saying in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, but by crossing themselves and reminding them that they have been marked, not by their hand, but by God. So we started with that. And yet, why are we coming to church? Because we need healing. So what do we need healing from? You know, immediately we begin with confession and absolution. You know, we sing the Psalms because people, they love the Bible, so they want to sing the Psalms. And the rest of the liturgy is exactly the way it's practiced, not only in America, but in Finland, in Australia, in South Africa. You know, we're joined together the same, but they cannot have that until they have the resources and the teaching. They need an example.
Pastor James May is our guest. We're talking about Lutheran missions when we come back another 15 minutes with him. He's going to be speaking at this week's Making Disciples Conference at Bethany Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights, Illinois. His presentation is going to be on Making Disciples in Africa. He's director of Lutherans in Africa. Speaking of, you know, this notion that somehow Lutheranism can't transfer out of a Western European or Western context, it's really just a lie. It's a myth that it can't transfer. It is the faith once for all delivered to the saints, something you'll find in the Issues Etc. journal, the latest Issues Etc. journal that's out in the Wittenberg Trail feature. Ross Johnson has written something called Lutheranism, Christianity's Best Kept Secret. You'll hear about his story from evangelicalism to confessional Lutheranism. Also, I've also written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal on the Book of Job called Job in Four Not-So-Easy Steps. You can read both of them absolutely free and subscribe to the journal at our website, issuesetc.org. There's a big red button that you click on right there on the right-hand side of the page. Enter your email address, and you're subscribed to the Issues Etc. journal. You also find back issues under the publications page at issuesetc.org. When we come back, we're going to spend some more time talking about Lutheran missions and several obstacles that exist in the African context, tribalism and terrorism. We'll be right back. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Pilgrim Lutheran, Santa Monica, California. Emmanuel Lutheran, Terre Haute, Indiana. Trinity Lutheran, San Angelo, Texas. Trinity Lutheran and Emmanuel Lutheran, Holloway, Minnesota. St. John Lutheran, Schaumburg, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Pipestone, Minnesota. Real Lutheran Fellowship, Rochester, Minnesota. Living Word Lutheran Church, The Woodlands, Texas. St. James Lutheran, Logansport, Indiana. St. John's Lutheran, State Center, Iowa, and Trinity Lutheran, West Chicago, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.
South Africa,
China,
Germany,
Trinidad and Tobago.
Did you know that people listen to Issues Etc. around the world? India,
Sweden,
Egypt,
France,
Turkey,
Japan,
Australia,
Canada,
United Kingdom,
Hong Kong, Austria,
Finland, Malaysia,
Singapore, Bulgaria,
Korea, Brazil.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Help us proclaim Christ to the world.
The Philippines.
Mexico.
Spain.
New Zealand.
Kuwait.
Producing 10 hours of live talk radio every week from a 500-square-foot office in Collinsville, Illinois, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Holy Cross Lutheran Church, Moline, Illinois, invites you to join us in receiving the Lord's gifts in word and sacrament. Sunday services are at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m., with Bible class and Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. We are located in the Quad Cities at 4107 21st Avenue, Moline, Illinois. Welcome in the name of our Lord.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about Lutheran missions. Pastor James May is our guest. He's going to be speaking at this weekend's Making Disciples Conference at Bethany Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights, Illinois. His presentation is going to be titled Making Disciples in Africa. You can find out more about Friday and Saturday's Making Disciples Conference under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Pastor May, you've alluded to both of these things, but I want to talk about both of these obstacles that Christian missions faces in Africa in particular, both tribalism and terrorism. And in the case of Africa, we just got to be honest, it's Islamic terrorism. Talk about these two obstacles.
The problems with war, and even more so with Islam, is quite alarming. I saw in your wall there you have an article from World Magazine. And I've never read World Magazine until last week when I was down in San Antonio, Texas. Reverend Mark Bars, he showed me an article that was 2 months ago and showed how Africa from the north down to the south in Africa is becoming more and more Islamic. And he was asking me, why is this happening? You know, why do Africans want to become Muslim? And living over there, it's so easy to understand why. You know, first of all, I already explained that Africans, they're very religious people. They believe in God. They want to know the way to heaven. When the Americans come over and all they do is give out goodies and they don't teach the gospel, sure, they'll come and get the goodies. Even the Muslims will take, you know, a catechism if I gave it to them, but then they'll use it to start their cooking fire unless you teach. But, you know, most people aren't distributing catechisms. They distribute other things. They distribute other things, but when they lack teaching and they're dressed as Americans, they talk as Americans, they don't learn the language, they don't learn the culture, they don't eat with the people. What the Muslims come and do is that they come to the people who got the goodies afterwards and they go into the marketplaces, because in the marketplaces is where you'll find a TV. And they'll say, you see how the Americans are living? You see how the young men and the young women, that they go and have sex and they're not married? And if that's, you know, problem comes about, how do those American Christians resolve it? They kill the baby. On top of that, now these Americans and these Swedes are coming down into Africa and they're telling us that if we don't accept homosexuality, they're going to start cutting financial aid. Is this the sort of life you want for your families? And the Africans say, no way. And you see, I don't know if you saw in discussion there, but they equate America with Christianity, which you and I know it's not true, but it's an easy leap for them if the Americans aren't giving any teaching, if the Lutherans aren't giving any teaching, and if the missionaries are doing the same thing that the aid organizations are doing, they equate the two together. So when Islam comes and they have a strict moral code and they teach them the five pillars of Islam, and they teach them how to pray, which, you know, it's for us, it's to a false god, but they're teaching. So this is why Africa is becoming Islamic. It's not because Africans love to kill. They don't. But it's part of Quran. It's part of jihad.
So the appeal of Islam to the many countries in Africa is it is a way of holding off the evils of Western civilization. It's simply a way of not being corrupted by what they see as a very corrupt and wicked civilization.
Wicked. I mean, it's not holding nothing against Westerners. I mean, the Africans are very, very kind people. They're very welcoming, and they love all groups, especially visitors. But they do not like that abhorrent lifestyle. Not only the things that they see on TV, but even the way people dress, and then the way they're flaunting their bodies. And the appeal to Islam is the Muslims are teaching. That's, I mean, I can't repeat it enough. We're supposed to be teaching. We're supposed to be a teaching church, and we're not doing that. But the Muslims, they're teaching, and because they give some message, is why it becomes so attractive.
When you return to Africa, what's a typical day going to be like for you when you go back to Africa?
My day varies a lot. Because our organization, we work in about 20 different countries in Africa. At the same time, we also have our translation center where we're constantly working. We partner with Lutheran Heritage Foundation to translate the books. We get a grant from them each year to translate it and publish various books. And then we also have our chapel. We have services on Sunday in English and on Wednesday in Swahili. But then I'm also planning where is the next country I need to go to. Because I'm getting requests all the time that, I mean, if we had 100 missionaries working with me, it wouldn't be enough. And I think the problem is that many people in America, they don't understand how big Africa is. It's 2.5 times the size of the United States. So, you know, how many missionaries do we have over in Africa? Do we have 10? I mean, if you had 10 pastors in America, would that be enough?
When you put it that way, it does seem pretty ridiculous, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So does it surprise you that Christianity is exploding in Africa? Does it surprise you that even Lutheran Christianity is growing by leaps and bounds in Africa? About a minute.
I don't think it's surprising because the Lutheran faith is a faith that is honest. It doesn't give false hopes of the law, you know, especially with the Pentecostals. And many people are turned off from Christianity because of Pentecostals in Africa. The Pentecostals is not just speaking in tongues, but even more so it's the healing and the promises of prosperity. It's true. There is lots of poverty in Africa. And when these false prophets come and say, you know, if you give $10 in faith, that God will reward you with $100. And then, you know, these people who are already poor in the first place, who only have a dollar or two, and they give it to the church and it doesn't, and then God doesn't give it back, then they wonder, you know, what's going on. And then the pastor says, oh, well, that's because it's your fault. You didn't believe enough. You didn't have enough faith. And then people get turned off because they see that the miracles just aren't there. Whereas the message of Lutheranism is, we are sinners. We have failed. And we cannot get to heaven based on who we are. I mean, look at our acts. Not only our acts, but our thoughts, our desires, our intentions, the way we speak with others. And in Jesus Christ, we have a Savior who has paid for all the terrible things we've done, and he continues to do it every single day that we come to him. His mercy never ends. And that even the way we come to him. And now this is the difference between the, you know, the Baptist church and Lutheran church. And also a big problem with translation. One of the big words that we have a difficulty with is repentance. Because, you know, most African languages do not have theological terms. So sometimes we need to have a group of words to explain what repentance means or what righteousness means or what justification means. And in many countries, they'll have two Bibles, a Catholic Bible and a Protestant Bible. And the Protestant Bible, when you get to, Mark chapter 1, where it talks about John came preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, instead of repentance, they'll replace that phrase with changing your way of life. And the Baptists teach that you must, we're sinners, but you must stop sinning and start doing good works, or else Jesus isn't going to come to you. Well, now, the forgiveness of sins is now based on works. And that's not what the Bible says. And when you're honest with people, you realize that we can never change our lives perfectly. So the reason that Africans love Lutheranism is because it's honest. I'm broken. I can't fix myself. I need, help not only for my justification, but also what we would say our sanctification. It's all God's work.
Pastor James May is director of Lutherans in Africa. He'll be speaking at this weekend's Making Disciples Conference at Bethany Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights, Illinois. His presentation is titled Making Disciples in Africa. And you can find out more about the Making Disciples Conference at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. James, thank you very much for your time. Keep up the good work.
Welcome. Thank you.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Wesley Smith about environmentalism's war against human beings. We'll continue our series on Christ in the Old Testament, talking with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer about Leviticus 19, the holiness of God. We'll discuss from American evangelicalism to confessional Lutheranism. Pastor Matt Richard will be our guest. And since it's Friday, we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. The Issues Etc. book of the month for February is How Can I Help God's Calling for Kids? It's an excellent, simple introduction to Scripture's doctrine of vocation, calling, even for kids. And it is a kid's book. You can find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House. Ask them for How Can I Help God's Calling for Kids, 1-800-325-3040. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.